Now entering Nerdist.com.
Big Pop Fun.
Welcome to Big Pop Fun, the podcast with your host, Tom Wilson, and guests from every corner of the places where, you know, Tom's been and asked to be on a show. Brought to you by Tom's Art at BigPopFun.com. Moving pictures to make you happy. Hey, support the arts by buying art. Big Pop Fun. Tom. Life. Showbiz. People. Here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Big Pop Fun podcast. And I'm Tom Wilson. I'm the host and I'm the originator. I didn't discover podcasting. I founded this podcast with the help of some of my podcasting friends, Chris Hardwick and Todd Glass and many friends who podcast. Yes, it is springtime, as you can hear by my voice and my nose. As I've talked about before the podcast, if you haven't been here, I am a nominally functioning bubble boy. If there is a little bit of dust, pollen, anything in the air, my entire system goes crazy. It's amazing that I've actually been able to function sort of, as I say, nominally, as a human being in my adult life because I am, my whole, some of you out there know what I'm talking about, but welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome, if it's your first time, to a magical sleigh ride of enchantment and wonder as we ride on sparkling tufts of fresh springtime air over the chasms of past regrets and old resentments as they slide into our past. And we fly on the tufts of the air into a new land of gratitude and forgiveness. And maybe, as I say, no pollen because, well, possibly a land that's beautiful, yes, but somehow beautiful without plants or trees or dust or I don't know where that land might be. Can a place be beautiful without trees or plants? It certainly can be beautiful without dust. But I suppose I'm thinking of a sandy beach or something. That's beautiful, I guess. I like to look at trees. I do. I like plants. I love flowers. We have a jasmine that grows. That's in the front of our house. That right now, it is when I can smell it at the very beginning of spring, when I can smell it, I can smell that the jasmine smells absolutely delightful. And of course, at the same time, my brain is saying, uh-oh, here we go. But they're lovely flowers and lovely trees. But I wish that they were asexual. I hate tree sex. That's basically my thing. The podcast is brought to you by art. Support the arts by buying art. There are painters, there are artists, there are artists who make jewelry, there are artists of all, there are performing artists in your area, there are musicians, there are singer-songwriters at your coffee place, and I'm just trying to, go out and listen to them and enjoy what they do and support them and slip them a buck if they're playing the guitar in a coffee house or buy something that they made on Etsy or go to an art show and just engage the artist in what they do. And if you can, buy something and help them out because they really are working from their heart. And We got to support them in some way. It's also brought to you by my book, The Masked Man, which is out there. It's been on the top, I guess, 100 in comedy books on Kindle. It goes up and down. It goes to 75. It goes to 99. It's off 99 for a second, but then it's back to 22. So it's been up and down. And if it's any indication, I've made over like $120 from its publication. So really, please, I can only count so high. So, but if you haven't checked out my book, check it out on the iPad or the Kindle or for the Nook. And that's it. I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and discussion came to the podcast and what I'm doing with it. And it's been difficult lately to get guests on the podcast. It may be that people don't want to do it. It may be that just people's schedules change. I don't know what it is, but I've had a lot of people go, oh, I can't. Oh, that thing, a thing came up and I had to cancel, which makes it, which has made it pretty difficult, which has made it at times frustrating because I've had some schedules with people and ready to go and they're unable to do it. So so this is going to be a solo podcast. I'm going to tell you some things. It's this is being released on Good Friday, and I hope that you all have had a blessed Passover, a blessed Holy Week for Christian friends, or just a lucky week for you agnostic-y people. And for the atheists, hey, just everyone is wrong. Yeah. All right. But I look, hey, you're my friend. Look, I'll talk about you guys soon. We're friends. Believe me. Don't split. I love you, man. I do. I actually kind of do. I believe that heart speaks to heart. And if you actually take a moment, he'd say, you know, Tom actually does kind of love me, doesn't he? Anyway, so I'm out to lunch with a friend. What was that about? I was out to lunch with a friend. And the podcast, as I say, came up, and it's difficult to book people, and people are canceled and everything. And my friend says, you got to go in deeper with this thing. You got to get, like, into some stuff, you know? You have to go into the issues or your life or yours or something. You got to pull something out of this thing. Because I guess he didn't, you know, wasn't going for some of the conversations that I had. Okay, fair enough. You have an opinion. I'm trying to make it what I can make it. I don't know how to make a podcast. I've made now, what, this is the 70th one, and I still completely attest to the fact that I don't know how to make one, but we're just making it, man. I'm turning it on, as you clearly know, and I'm just saying some stuff. And sometimes, hey, sometimes it's effective and people love it, and clearly sometimes it's ineffective and people love it, but just way less than the original loving it. Then I was on the phone with another friend. And this is one of those things where it was a day later and I'm on the phone with a friend. And the friend is says, I'm listening to the podcast. Oh, you are? Well, that's great. Yeah, yeah. He says, I think you should get a little deeper with things, man. You have to, like, pull something out of this. You have to, like, go into something. Get in, you know, get in and up to your elbows a little bit. So, wow, it's funny that you should say that because somebody just said that yesterday. So I don't know. I even tried to ask them what they meant, and they really – I don't think they could really articulate it perfectly what they meant. But, hey, here we go. We're going into it up to our elbows. We're going into it up to our – I don't know. Probably not. I'll just keep talking. You know who's back podcasting and who I'm very happy about, who is doing well, is Larry Miller. Larry is an old friend of mine. Larry is an American treasure. He really is. He's a fabulous actor and comedian and writer. You can look him up. Certainly, he has his own podcast, which was on hiatus for quite a while. This Week with Larry Miller, and I'm sure you can find it on the internet. But he does that podcast, which I always find entertaining because I just love Larry, and he's back and he's doing well. I met Larry. Now, Larry, you pardon me, you might know Larry from what was that? I knew a bunch of movies that he was in, and now I really can't think of one. Pretty Woman, he was in. He often will play an obsequious kind of character. He's in a lot of the Chris Guest movies. Christopher Guest, those improvisational movies that he's done. And he's a comedian who has just kind of historic bits that he's done on The Tonight Show and Letterman. His bit, the stages of drinking and the various ages and his ski trip, all kinds of things that have become comedy classics. Anyway, I met Larry when I was about 19 years old. I was a babe in the comedy woods. I had just begun. I mean, I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was preparing and making jokes and having props and doing all sorts and doing music and all sorts of things. And Larry had come to the Comedy Works in Philadelphia to perform, and I was opening for Larry. I was so excited, you know, to be opening for a big comedian like Larry Miller, who was kind of doing TV shows. I'm not sure if he was doing TV right then, but you know, he was an experienced comedian because, oh, he was probably 3 years older than I was or something. I don't know how old he was, but we're there. We're backstage at the Comedy Works. And, well, back then, there were television movies, or it was like the ABC Saturday Night Movie. That was a big, big event because cable really wasn't out. And it was the first time The Godfather was going to be on television. The network special, The Godfather will be on. I don't know what network it was, but it was a big deal, and it was on a Saturday night, and everyone knew it, and everyone wanted to watch The Godfather for whatever reason. I mean, because, you know, the VHSs were not out, DVDs were not out, and when you saw it maybe in the theater, I never saw The Godfather in the theater when it was out. So when it was coming on television, that was a big deal. Everyone had to schedule, we have to see The Godfather on television. We were working at the comedy club. So Larry wanted to see The Godfather, so we got this old beat-up black and white TV, and we, you know, got an extension cord with the black and white TV with antennas, with the bunny ear antennas and everything, and we set it up backstage at the comedy. It was this little tiny backstage area. It wasn't a green room with a sofa that a lot of comedy clubs have now. It was a really kind of a very, very rustic thing that used to be the attic of this Middle Eastern restaurant that the Comedy Works was on the top of. So it's just kind of broken restaurant chairs and Sterno cans and various things on the floor. And we take one of the broken chairs, set it up as a table, put the black and white television in, plug it in, and we tune in The Godfather. And what a thing to watch on television, on a little black and white TV backstage. And the show is going on, and the show is going well, but we're watching The Godfather. And it comes to the point where Larry is being introduced. I did my thing. I missed my chunk of The Godfather, but I come backstage, and Larry is being introduced. And Larry is really tied into The Godfather. He's like, oh, I can't, but okay. So he gets introduced, Larry Miller. And this is the thing, because as I say, I was such a kid, and I had my list of bits that I wanted to do, and I had ever. And then when I say that, I'll go into this bit, and then it was so pre-planned because I was so scared. I was scared to be up on stage alone, and everything had to be planned out. Larry gets introduced. Larry Miller, the round of applause. He leaves the television, and he goes out, and I want to watch Larry's set, so I go out over to the corner, you know, sneak into the room, and I'm peeking at Larry's set. And Larry just goes up, and he stares at the audience for a couple seconds, just smiling pleasantly, and just kind of points with his thumb backstage and just says, you know, me and the guys, we were just watching The Godfather on the TV back there. That's where, boy, it's just where he was, you know, meeting with the Tattaglia family, that guy from the Tattaglia. And he's telling the audience in a very relaxed way about what just happened to him, that he was just backstage watching The Godfather. So he'll get back to The Godfather, but why don't we talk for a while, meaning he and the audience. It was a revelation to me. You mean that you can just go out on stage like yourself and just sort of, and the audience will still like you or give you a chance to win them over? Because I always thought, and did for a number of years, that you just go out there and you just got to kaboom. Hello, I'm on stage. Watch me. Don't take your eyes off me. I'm afraid this might not work if you're not watching me. And Larry came out with, seemed utter self-confidence for a pretty young guy, and just, was like, yeah, I'll get to the jokes in a minute, but I was just watching The Godfather. Great movie, huh? It's weird. It's on TV finally and everything. So that was when I met Larry, and I always remembered that lesson of Larry's in performance, boy, that it's not a cocky self-confidence. It's just a comfort in your own skin that you can walk out on stage and be relaxed about it. And just say, "Hi, I'm just coming out here to do a show," and that self-assuredness, it works. It works. I don't know if you can fake that, though. As I've talked about earlier in the podcast, I think with Steve Odekirk, faking that stuff is hard to do when you're faking being completely relaxed and comfortable with just walking out in front of an audience right off the bat. But Larry did it, and I always remembered it, and I tried, not in that way of talking about The Godfather, but I tried to emulate it for many years. I'm not sure if I ever have as well as Larry did, but I tried anyway. Larry was himself. Then a few years later, I opened for Larry in Lake Tahoe. I mean, we saw each other. We saw each other in L.A. because I had moved to L.A. and everything. We saw each other in Lake Tahoe where I opened for Larry, where famously Larry went a little bit crazy on stage one because a rat came through the audience, through the entire audience. And there was everyone was jumping up and it's in the dark and Larry doesn't know what's going on. And he's looking out and the rat just went right. Like up onto the stage and right to backstage, and Larry didn't like rats. But anyway, we were in Lake Tahoe and working together again, and Larry invited me to his hotel room because Larry had a plan. He was gonna beat the casino. So I went to his room, and again I was just a kid. I was making no money. I was staying. I wasn't staying at the hotel, which was Harrah's, I think. I wasn't staying at Harrah's. I was staying, you know, down the block and a couple of blocks to the left at a little motel with a waterbed. It had a waterbed. So the guy booking it said, "Hey, Tom, hey, it's a great motel. Hey, they got waterbeds." And as everyone knows who's ever slept on a waterbed, it's great when somebody tells you it and you go, "Oh, waterbed," until you actually try it, and then it feels like, you know, you're on the Love Boat or something on a little floating thing. It doesn't really work out very well. But Larry invited me to his room, and Harrah's, to invite me into his method to break the casino. Yeah, we talked about it a long time. And Larry was the headliner, so he wasn't rich or anything, but he had some money. He had a roll of bills, and he had chips, and he was gambling, and he had a method, and he graciously offered to let me into his method and invest, buy a share in Larry's pulling down the casino. But I had no money, so I turned it down. But Larry's idea was to double the investment. I forget what it was exactly, but it was sort of like you begin with $5, and then if you lose the next time, you bet 10, and then 20, and then 40, and then 80, literally, and then 160, and then 320, and then all the way up the chain until, yes, you could lose up to $1,000. But Larry's idea was out of those 5 to 7 hands where it gets very expensive, you're bound to win one. So if you lose the 5, the 10, the 20, the 40, you might win the 80 and be able to begin the process again. So that was his method. Larry tried it. Larry tried it. Now, and while we were there, can I tell you a sad story? But while we were there, we were walking through the casino and we heard a bang that I did not know what the bang was. It sounded like a lighting fixture blew up or something, and a guy had shot himself at the blackjack table, which I still remember quite clearly. As you can imagine, I didn't see it or anything, but we heard it. And. And the reaction, I was a very young guy, as I said, and the reaction was shocking to me, that the reaction of the dealers was the pit bosses coming in and telling everyone to cover the chips. that was the most important thing to do. And all of the dealers, the blackjack dealers, craps dealers, everyone put their bodies over the chips, you know, in case it was a diversion in order that someone would lean over and steal chips from the trays of the dealers. It was not. It was a guy who bet his last $5, I guess, whose method didn't work, and he was done, and he pulled out a gun and shot himself at the blackjack table. And I may add, this being a casino, as you can only imagine, only truly scant minutes later, when the police were there and the yellow tape was up and the man was still on the ground, God rest his very troubled soul, I swear 10 feet away, people were playing blackjack as the guy was there. They just kind of started up those tables as soon as possible because, hey, that's the casino way, isn't it? Anyway, so Larry's method, sorry about that. It turns out the guy was staying in my motel. He was. I went back to my motel later that night, and there was yellow tape all over. And I asked the motel manager, and that was the guy who had shot himself, was staying next to me at the motel, and the door was open. And of course, I peered in to see what this poor man's life was like. And there was about a quarter of a bottle of Jack Daniels on a table and a bucket of chicken. Yeah. Yeah. Hooray for Hollywood. Well, anyway, we went to... I'm sorry about that. That was a weird tangent, wasn't it? But it was true. It was a true story from my life. And you're probably not listening anymore anyway, so I will continue. Larry tried his method with me standing there. And it was like, wow. It just... You know, Casino Satan just rang some bells and flashed some lights and took every one of Larry's bets off the table. I mean, he lost 5, he lost 10, he lost 20, he lost 40, he lost 80, he lost 160. He is beginning to sweat. The dealer's face, I remember it was kind of a young lady, and it just got sort of more and more pained. She can't say, sir, I've seen a lot of people try this and it won't work. Don't bet. You know, don't bet $360. But it got more and more pained as she scooped the bigger and bigger chips. I mean, he lost whatever those were, 5, 6, 7 hands in a row, and it was the failure of the plan was immediate. And as only Larry can do, Larry deadpan to me, I am a moron. But so that's that was Larry. But hey, I love Larry, and I welcome Larry back. It's Larry Miller Story Day on Big Pop Fun, the podcast. Larry and I sang once in the singer showcase that happened in Hollywood at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. There was this singer showcase, as you can only imagine. People, you know, guys with vests and polyester shirts, with a pianist accompanying them singing, Kiss Today, Goodbye, you know, that kind of thing. But Larry, I would sing my little songs, and occasionally I sang the theme from The Love Boat. I don't know why, it just seemed kind of corny. Love, exciting, and new. But I sang my songs with a guitar, and Larry used to sing a song called Late Night Comic, which was, yeah, it was introspective, and it was longing, and it was about that time in which he sang it, which was 2 a.m. at a showcase on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood with not very many people in the audience, and he would sing this song, Late Night Comic, that I used to love, because again, Larry had the guts to write a more personal and introspective song than I think I did, because I was busy, I guess, doing shtick at the time, because I thought that shtick would, you know, make money because I was poor. And we were in a pilot together. Larry and I were in a pilot together. Let me pause this because I'm telling all Larry Miller stories. No, I paused it. Yes, I paused it, and I walked around the room I walked around the room back here at Wilson World headquarters, telling myself, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're complaining about your allergies and then you're telling 60 Larry Miller stories? What are you doing? Well, I'm just doing it because that's what I'm doing, because somebody canceled on me. And hey, if you want to hear Larry Miller, we were on a pilot together. That's right. We were cast in a pilot together, and I was excited to work with Larry. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And we had lots of time together on the set. We had wonderful conversations. And I told Larry how good it was to see him. And he quoted back to me a Jewish prayer, because Larry is an observant Jew. And he was, and for my Jewish friends, I apologize. I will wildly paraphrase it because, of course, I don't know it specifically. But it was a Jewish prayer which was thanking God and being so grateful just for being alive and being able to see this day and be here now and to be in this moment. Because, it may very well have been that we might not have been here to experience this. So it was very touching. And I echoed the prayer with Larry, thanking God in my own way for surviving and for being – and hanging – I hear you, my atheist buddies out there. Hang in there, because look, we're kindred spirits. We are kindred spirits. I don't argue with anybody about it. It's fine. Do your thing. I'm a very unusual Christian because, dude, I don't care what you do. Whatever. We're kindred spirits, atheists, as far as passion goes, because hey, I'm a Catholic, and look, hey, atheists, listen to this. I've already lost at least 80% of the Christian people that just listen to this, going, oh, he's not, I'm a Catholic. Like, look, Flannery O'Connor, the great novelist, who was a Catholic novelist, and again, Flannery O'Connor fan. I'm just on a wing and a prayer here, people. I don't know. I don't know the quotation, so I will paraphrase it and I will get it wrong. But Flannery O'Connor once said in one of her letters, I think, I'm a Catholic. But no, I'm not a Catholic like a Baptist is a Baptist or a Methodist is a Methodist. I'm a Catholic the way an atheist is an atheist. So I agree with that. I mean, come on. It's either everything or nothing. You're either all in or all out. That's fine. But whatever it is, if you're all out, hey, I love you anyway. And here come the comments. I understand, 666 lives at Gmail. I understand, or whatever. I understand. Some guy was emailing me. It came some interview somewhere where, it was a Catholic-y thing, and a guy started emailing me, I mean, left and right with huge, 24-point font about how I'm going to hell and a handbag, all the, you can only imagine. And the guy's emailing me, and his screen name was Boss Hog. So I'm just emailing him back like, dude, how are we going to – we're not going to have an interchange of ideas here, Boss Hog. I'm not driving the General Lee. I mean, I think go and have some sweet tea with Daisy Duke. And I don't think I'm your guy. Peace, man. Peace to you and everybody. So did I make any sense with that? Probably not. And believe me, there are Catholic people who, are whatever from duct tape a rosary to your head.com, and they're going to email me. So I'm like, I can't make anybody happy with this. I'm man without a country. So, but my point, wow, that was a weird tangent, huh? My point being, Larry and I had a great time on that pilot that we were on, which was very bad. It was a very bad TV pilot. Surprise, surprise. But, we got a job and we're making our money and buying some groceries. But the shoot went on forever. We were there so long as they're trying to make it funny. And very, very late that night, it's dark. The studio audience has left and we're working and it's far past midnight and they're trying to work some life into the jokes. And Larry came up to me, looked at me and said, I think that nothing will ever be funny again. And that's another moment that I had with Larry Miller. Enough Larry talk. I apologize, but I love Larry Miller. Larry had an accident, and he was in the hospital for a long time, and everyone, including myself, was so heartbroken about it, but he got better. Thank God. He came back. Thank God, and he's doing well. He's as funny as ever, and he's podcasting on This Week with Larry Miller, and I hope you check it out. So this Easter, here's to Larry Miller, my second favorite Jew. At Easter. Well, oh, no, wait. I'm a Catholic, Mary. Okay, Larry Miller, my third favorite Jew, because the disciples weren't that funny. For all my friends everywhere, hey, no matter what we all believe, huh? I wish you peace. I wish you happiness. I'll do one of my recitations. Can I do that? Just for those three of you who remain. Let me do it. I did my one about the farm, didn't I want? But this is a prayer that I love because it's E.E. Cummings. And E.E. Cummings, come on. He doesn't even have capital letters in his name. Everybody loves E.E. Cummings. I hope I don't blow it. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day. For the leaping greenly spirits of trees. And a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and the gay great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are open.
It's Big Pop Fun.
Well, if you've listened to the podcast at all, you know that I record these weird tangent ones, and throughout the whole thing, I'm second-guessing myself wildly within my own mind. And I even say it out loud, don't I? But I'm saying, God, what are you doing? And then I end up putting them on because that's just – it's coming out of my head and it's a podcast. It's not some – it's not something that's overly pre-planned and all shampooed and combed and blow-dried for your enjoyment. It's just – it's pretty raw. It comes out raw, and I'm telling you about my friend Larry today, and I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, if you have any feedback, everybody's it has fallen off, so now I don't get much feedback at all. So if you're enjoying the podcast or want to contact me, you can certainly do that at info@tomwilsonusa.com. You can write to me. I get postcards occasionally. I haven't in a while, but P.O. Box 18106, Encino, E-N-C-I-N-O, California, 91416, USA. Thanks to everybody from around the world who've been tweeting a little bit and sending stuff, from Harold in Norway and all around the world. Thanks so much. It is my Eastertime podcast, and if you listened last year, you heard a very interesting conversation with my good friend Blake Clark. I still hear people who have those conversations in their phone or in their iPod and who listen to them. Blake, you might want to check it out. Go back, go back a while and go to last Easter. It's called Easter Blake, where I have a conversation with my friend Blake Clark, and then I tell the story of coming upon the Cathedral of St. Peter in Chains in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was just in a pew somewhere and some people come out, and it was the choir of the Cathedral of St. Peter in Chains. So I turned on this little recording unit. Why not? Because I was being, you know, I was being ever so raw and journalistic, as, oh, I always do. But I turned on the recorder and I was shocked, pleased, moved, and amazed at what I ended up hearing. So let me share with you one more time. The choir of the Cathedral of St. Peter in Chains in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.